Hey guys, we're so excited to share this message with you on the Center Set podcast. My name is Ethan and I lead worship here at Center Set. We'd love for you to download our app so that you can keep up with all that is happening in our community. Text Center Set to 77977 to download.
Good morning. I love the sound of people talking in front of before church. Welcome, my name is Ali, I'm the lead pastor, and we are in week 5, the conclusion of our You Ask For It series. And we're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to have a little competition. We're going to read a prayer, and we're going to time who reads it faster, because men are competitive, and this is what we do. So this is John from the Dream Team. He was here from the very beginning, helped us launch the church. He comes up almost every Sunday and helps us step and tear down. So John is going to read the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know what the Lord's Prayer is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that prayer, he's going to read it, and we're going to time it. You ready, John? Right there. Whenever you're ready. Hey, Mark, get set, go.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Also lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
15.57. And here's the kicker. I'm gonna go against you right now. There we go. So you now you time me now.
I'm letting him win. Bring it out there. Alright, ready? Set? Go.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, what's my point with that? That's how some of us treat prayer. Yeah. We try to get through as fast as we can. How many of you know that God wants more than that? Yeah. How many of you know that you need more than that? The great theologian MC Hammer said, we got to pray just to make it today. Yeah. Right? I think so many times we don't pray, and the question that we're answering today is, how do I pray? That was the fifth most asked questions by you guys. And I love this question because we're a brand new church, about 10 months old. Our 1 year anniversary will be about 8 weeks from now. We've followed for that, yeah. And 49 people have accepted Christ. That means this church, in a room full of 100 people, half of you became Christian after we started. So this question, maybe at an old church, would be like, why are you asking that question? In this context, makes perfect sense. Why I almost fell off the stage. Louder than that. I think one of the number one reasons why we don't pray is we over complex prayer. We make it too complex. It's simple. I want to make prayer simple this morning. See, whenever we deem anything complex, we just disengage from it. Like if we don't know how to set up our router in our home, we don't want to do it. If we don't know how to eat healthy, we go on the seafood diet. Seafood and we eat food, right? And whenever something is complex, we just disengage. Yeah. And you can't have a relationship with God if you don't have communication with Him.
But
I don't know if you are single or married this morning, but I've been married about almost 5 years. Woo! And I can tell you the number one aspect of any relationship is communication. Yeah. It's communication. Some of you don't even remember back in the day when I was growing up in high school, AOL would mail you a CD. How many of you remember those days, right? The only way to use the internet is you put the CD in your computer, and your computer had a dial-up modem that had to call, AOL. And then your dad, every time, would pick it up, and his demon would be talking. Some of you millennials have no clue what I'm talking about. It's unfortunate, because you never had to suffer. You produce the character that we produce. But my point is this. When you're walking somewhere, and your cell phone doesn't have service, and you're freaking out that Justin Bieber's Instagram story doesn't load, right? And you can't breathe, because your cell phone's your third lung. It's okay. When you can't talk to your friends, you can't have a relationship.
Yeah.
And the same is true of God.
Yeah.
And listen, the devil wants to over-complex prayer so that you will disengage and you will feel awkward around God.
Yeah.
You ever been to a family reunion where you meet people you never met, right? And you're supposed to talk to them because they're family. You're like, hey, how are you? How's it going? Someone say awkward.
Yeah.
Right? The devil wants you to be awkward around God. He will work hard to make sure that not only do you feel awkward around him, listen, he wants to create distance between you and him. So you don't even spend time with him anymore. And this is where people get so disengaged from God that they even wonder if God is real and if God even cares for them.
Wow.
It's not like God moved, we moved.
Yeah.
God's the same yesterday, today,
yeah.
and forever. Like, it's like, imagine if you were my next door neighbor, and then you moved to Seattle because real estate's way cheaper there. And then you call me up, Pastor Al, you never come over anymore. I don't live next to you anymore. You move. Sometimes we do that with God. And even if we do prayer, listen, sometimes we misunderstand how prayer even operates. Like, imagine if I jumped off the stage for reals and were to hand the mic to anyone in the first two rows, you would probably die, right? You'd have a heart attack. Me? Pray? I don't even know how. No. It's so funny. Just write this down. Prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is just talking to God. You know how to talk. Which means, by definition, you already know how to pray.
That's right.
And it's so interesting that we won't apply the same logic to other areas of our life. It's not like we have performance anxiety, right? This is what prayer is. Prayer is about relationship. But imagine if I asked you to shoot a free throw, and you would be like, I don't know how to do that, I'm not good at it. Like, you'd freak out because it requires skill. Prayer doesn't require skill.
That's right.
It's about relationship.
Yeah.
It's about knowing Him and talking to Him.
Yeah.
And imagine you went to a fast food restaurant, and someone tried to take your order, and you're like, I can't. I don't know how to do this. The lady in front of me, did you see her? She paired cheeseburgers with french fries. I don't know how she did that. Man, can you come order for me? Yeah, we do that all the time. You're laughing, but we do that all the time in the church. No, I don't want to pray. You pray. I don't know how to pray.
Yeah, it's good.
Listen, God wants to make prayer so complex that you disengage from it. He wants to make you feel awkward around God. That's His goal. Listen. His goal is to make you distant from Him. And what's so interesting is I led prayer for 3 years at my previous church. Before I ever pastored, before I ever preached a sermon, I led prayer every Thursday night at church. And I met some crazy people at church. Let me tell you, I'm going to write a book one day, the 10 crazy people you meet at church in the prayer room. Like, sometimes we, instead of praying like normal prayers, we pray prayers out of repetition. Some of you, when you were growing up and your parents were tucking you into bed, and they would pray this prayer for it's like super demonic. Crazy how crazy it is. Like, my mom, she bought my two-year-old dog this stuffed animal, and you squeeze the arm and it says this prayer. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, let me read it to you. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Night, Sophie, have a good night. You know, maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see. Like, who prays that, right? But when you don't have a relationship, you pray prayers of repetition. Let me tell you, some of you are reciters. Let me tell you what a reciter is. A reciter is, doesn't matter if you're praying for your grandmother who has cancer or a hurricane in some country in the Caribbean. You pray the same prayer. God is good. God is great. Thank you for this day. Billy, do you know what we're praying for? God is good. God is great. Thank you for this day. Some of you pray the same prayers no matter what the situation. I call you the reciter. Second person I want to address this morning is the bad theologian. This guy goes, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Would you bless it to the nourishment of my body? I'm like, bro, are you kidding me? You have animal-style fries, not just one, two double-doubles, and a milkshake. You can't pray your bad decisions away. You can't do that. What are you praying about? The third person I want to address this morning is the never-ending story of prayer. My mom usually comes, and she was usually here in the back row. She's not good today. It's not going to be fun for her. This could be Thanksgiving or a family meal, and I'm praying to Jesus. She's not the one praying for me. Let me tell you why. Because the meal will be hot before she prays, and it will be cold when she's done. She's like, Lord, we just thank you for everyone here. We just thank you for everyone in the city. Would you just bless them, God? Would you just bless the whales? Would you just bless the hippopotamus? Maybe it's hippopotamus. I don't know. I'll Google it. And the next time I pray, I'm going to pray it right. And you just want to flip the table over and you're so upset. It's like, stop. And you're peeking through your eye, wondering if you can sneak up by it. Because you don't want anyone to see it. Like, end the prayer already. The fourth person I need to address this morning is the super spiritual prayer. This person, I don't even know who you are, but I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for you, because you test my faith. You pray the craziest prayers. Like, we'll have the chicken. Thank you, Jesus, for this chicken that was slain before the foundations of the earth. Thank you, God, for foster farms that's not fit that this chicken should die for me. What are you even praying? Who are you? And the fifth person is the yeller. Like, Doesn't have to be a prayer meeting at church. I yell sometimes. I'm passionate. I'm Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
We all yell. If we're not angry, we're just passionate, right? But I can control it in a public environment. The yeller can't. And I hate when this person prays in public. This person's like, hey, Billy, can you pray for us? I'd love to. Can you not close your eyes? It's calm. Can you bow your head? Thank you, Jesus, for today. We just thank you, God, for your son. Because the Bible says, whoa, bro, you're kidding me. We're in McDonald's. Inside voice. The yell can't control himself. You never ask that guy to pray. Never. Sixth person. The fast prayer. This guy's racing in a race that no one knows about. He's like the first guy. Remember, he just prays a prayer so fast, you didn't know what he prayed. Like, everything's a blur. It's all in one word. And as soon as he's done, listen, he's looking around at some clock that doesn't exist to make sure you beat the time. He's just fast. Seventh person. God help us with this. This one has fire breath. You know what I'm talking about? He has stank breath. These people never pray short prayers. They always come close. Like, there's this one time in a prayer meeting, this guy comes to me, he goes, oh, hallelujah. And these guys will put your hand on you, make sure you're close. And so you're like praying, like secret prayers while your eyes are closed. You don't pass out because he's got fire breath. Why is it that people with bad breath always gotta tell you a secret? Come on, let's help with that. Hashtag breath mints are of the Lord. Come on. And the seventh person, these people, I love them, but they just know me. Say my name, bro. This is a play on words of a Destiny's Child song. These people take one name of God. God has over 100 names. And they just repeat it like 1,000 times. Thank you, Father God, for today, Father God. We just love you, Father God. We just want to thank you, Father God, God, Father, Father God, Father God, God, Father. Like, what are you even praying? Like, no one in life talks that way. No one would come up to me and say, Allie, how are you, Allie? Allie, you good, Allie? Are you good, Allie? What are you doing tomorrow, Allie? So why do we pray the way that we don't talk? Listen, you just got to slow down and have a conversation. Because he's a person. Is this helping, church?
Yeah.
It's good, because I want to make something that's complex simple.
Yeah.
Prayer is simple. Prayer is just talking to God. And your dad longs to speak with you. He loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you. That's how much he wants to talk to you this morning. And sometimes when we don't have a relationship with God, listen, we pray some weird prayers, like we'll bargain with God. Like, there'll be a police officer behind us, like, God, I promise to go to church if you don't give me a ticket. Like, we don't have a relationship, but we're just like bargaining with God now. Like, our biggest prayers are in the parking lot at Best Buy on Black Friday. God, give me a parking spot. And you're just driving around, like, praying that in ways you've never prayed before. Like, half an hour later, God, don't even worry about it. I found a parking spot. I'm good. Like, I'm good. Man, we do that. God wants a relationship.
Yeah.
He wants to spend time with you because you're his kid.
Yeah.
And if there's anything I want to do today, is I want to make something that you and I see, some of you see as complex, just make it so simple. Hey, not only will you learn something today, but your life will change.
Yeah.
I'm not about information, guys. I'm about transformation.
On, yeah.
And leading up to our one-year anniversary, which is on the 23rd of September, save it, put it on your calendar.
Yeah.
3 weeks before that, we're going to give out everyone in the church a prayer journal, 21 days of prayer. We did it at the beginning of the year, where we prayed 21 days, fasting and praying. This one's 21 days of feasting and praying. This is way fun. You can eat your cheeseburger and pray to Jesus. And the idea is we want to prepare our hearts for what God has for us in the new year.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a relationship with God, listen, you got to talk to him.
Yeah.
You got to spend time with him.
Yeah.
And I want to read you a verse that comes out of Matthew chapter 6, where the disciples asked the same exact question that you guys asked. They saw him praying and said, would you teach us to pray? And this account, I'm going to read from two different gospels. It's the same story, just from two different ways. Read with me in Matthew chapter 5. And when you pray, this is Jesus speaking, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Is it wrong to pray in church? No, of course not. Is it wrong to pray in the street? Of course not. What Jesus is talking about is, don't be the motivation when you pray in those places to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, don't be a peacock.
Yeah.
You ever seen a peacock that they just like blow themselves up so they're seen? Like, don't be like that guy in church. Like, don't change the way you speak. Ever talk to someone, they're like totally cool, you're the same language, and as soon as they pray, like, they become an English theologian from like the 1800s. Thou God, would you bless us, thou art today? It's like, whoa. You don't need to impress anyone.
Yeah.
God doesn't need to be impressed.
Yeah.
He already knows everything about you and loves you anyways.
Yeah. Come on.
He wants a relationship with you.
Yeah.
And then Jesus continues in Luke chapter 11. It says, one day.
One day.
Jesus was praying in a certain place. How many know if Jesus is praying, we need to pray?
Yeah.
When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. I find this so interesting because this is about a year into the ministry of Jesus. Jesus has healed people that were dead and came back to life. He has made the blind see and the deaf hear.
That's right.
And his disciples didn't say, teach us how to do miracles.
That's right.
He didn't say, teach me how to preach the way that you preach. Teach me how to evangelize. He said, there's something different about you, Jesus. I want to learn how you pray.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting about this is these are Jewish men. These aren't pagan men asking this question. See, every Jewish person, whether you're a male or female, you were taught the Shema. So from Deuteronomy 6, the Lord your God is one. And they would pray this prayer every morning and every evening, meaning that these men already knew how to pray.
Yeah.
But there was something different about the way Jesus prayed. There was something so appealing. Listen, it was so different. It wasn't about going to church. It was about reading a book. Jesus had a relationship with God that these men didn't have.
Yeah.
And he said, we want that. And that's why I think you guys asked this question. You want a relationship with your Father in heaven. And listen, Jesus is longing to have it with you. Look what he says. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, which is our sins, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I want to give you 6 points today. How to take this, the Lord's Prayer, and apply it to your life. It's not a formula that I want you to follow. It's a tool to get to Him. The goal is not to memorize the Lord's Prayer. The goal is to use the Lord's Prayer to meet Jesus. And the first thing I want to tell you this morning is begin with praise. Begin with praise. The beginning of that prayer begins with Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which is basically like holy is your name. Like we can walk word for word through that whole phrase. I just want to start with the first two words. Our Father. Do you know that you don't just have a God in heaven, you have a Father in heaven who loves you.
Right. Yeah.
And you didn't know that He's approachable. Like you can interrupt Him anytime you want. We are in startup mode as a church, which means Starbucks and Pete's are my office. And most of the time it's my dining room table. Now we have church meetings, and guess who will come in at 2 years old and totally interrupt the meeting? My daughter. Daddy, what are you doing? I'm in a meeting. Ice cream. I'm like, I'm in a meeting. She doesn't care. Ice cream, right? Do you have that boldness with God?
Yeah, amen.
Do you think you can go to Him and interrupt Him anytime you want, with anything that you want, and talk to Him? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us come boldly into the throne room of God to find grace and peace in our time of need. Do you have that level of boldness? Listen, I believe without a shadow of doubt that the enemy has used, he's attacked earthly fathers so that we will neglect and refuse to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
See, this is why some of you in this room have fathers who are absent, abusive, and aloof.
Come on.
And then you turn around and you project that onto your Father in heaven.
Wow.
And what Jesus is saying, listen, He has over 100 names. Mm-hmm. Jesus on purpose says, don't come in with Elohim. Don't come in with Mighty Counselor. Don't start with Wonderful God, King of Kings. Jesus says, start with Our Father. Yeah. Why don't I write this down? How you view God is how you approach God.
Come on.
How you view God is how you approach God. And this is the first, for those of you taking notes, that are here questioning if God exists. This is the only religion, listen, that tells you to come to God as Father. In every other religion, He's a person. He's not your dad. Jesus has come to Him as Father. Because the way that you view Him is the way you're going to approach Him, which is ultimately going to determine your relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. And if you view Him as angry, as distant, and wanting to punish you, listen, no one wants that. I don't even want that. I'd run away from that too. But if you view Him as a Father that longs to spend time with you, you're going to run to that guy.
Yeah.
And more than just coming to Him with your list of prayers and things that you need, which isn't bad, we're going to get to that, just come to spend time with Him. Just like be with Him. There are times where I'm watching TV and Sophie, my little daughter, will run into the room. She's just sitting on that. Like, Sophie, what do you want? She says, nothing. She just wants to sit there.
Yeah.
What she doesn't know, though, if she asks for ice cream, I give it to her. What Pastor Yasmin doesn't know is that when she's not there, I offer ice cream. Right? I'm being serious. dads love, even moms, we love it when our kids want to spend time with us.
Yeah.
God longs to spend time with you.
Yeah.
Just begin with praise. God, thank you so much that you're my redeemer, you're my healer, you're my friend, you're my mighty counselor.
Yeah.
Just begin to praise him for who he is and praise him until your problems become small and your God becomes big. Not that he becomes bigger, listen, but you're just magnifying him in your eyes.
Yeah.
That's why we sing songs the way we do. Trying to magnify God. In Hebrew, in Psalms 34, it says, magnify the Lord. Come, let's exalt him together.
Yeah.
You're not saying those things to make God bigger. He's already big.
Yeah.
Listen, but you spent all day, week in traffic, all week in your student loans and your relationship issues that have drama, and you've made God small.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to daily remind yourself how big he is. We don't serve an itty-bitty God and a big devil. Listen, we serve a big God and an itty-bitty devil.
Yes.
And that's why you need to begin with praise. You need to remind yourself of who he is in your life.
Yeah.
Always begin with praise.
Yeah.
I even encourage you to start with worship music to remind yourself who he is in your life.
Yeah.
Number two, you pray for his will. Pray for his will. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One thing you don't know is the perfect will of God is happening right now.
Yeah.
Perfect will of God, but in heaven.
Yeah.
It's not happening here, though. That's why we need to pray for our government, whether you're in a political party or not. You need to pray for your leaders. You need to pray for your city. Listen, if God answered every one of your prayers last week, would anyone other than you be blessed? So you need a larger vision for his provision.
Yeah.
It's not just about you. Life is bigger than just you. You need to pray for others to experience what we have. Listen, I came from a Muslim country where it's illegal to own the Bible. We came in this building and no one, listen, had a gun downstairs asking if you're a Christian.
That's right.
We are so blessed, we don't even realize it. Don't ever neglect what God did in this country. Listen, we are blessed. We need to pray that will that's already happening in heaven down here on earth. Listen, I pray for you guys almost every day. What kind of pastor would I be?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
But he does.
That's right.
He does.
Yeah.
There's a prayer that is found in the Old Testament where it says, if you bless Israel, listen, God will bless you. I even pray for Israel all the time. Because I want to be blessed.
Yeah.
Like, you need a larger vision of what God wants to do in this, not just this church, not just in your life, but in this city. This is the most unchurched region in the entire country. 95% of the people, I want to be part of a movement of churches that reverse the trend.
Yeah.
Where there are more Christians than non-Christians in the city.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen unless we pray for it.
Yeah.
We got to pray for it. And if you pray his agenda, listen, you get his attention.
Yes,
do you want to know what God's agenda is?
Yeah.
I promise you it's the loss.
Yeah.
I promise you. It's the only time in the Bible God tells one story three different ways. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. It's the only parable he told three times. But he told one story. Why? God is after the lost. God is focused on.
Yeah.
His attention is on those things that are far from him. Listen, if we want to have a heart that is after the things that God is after, that means this church has to be about the lost, which is we are. This is a church for the unchurched. That upsets some people. I think God is celebrating in heaven that we are after the things that he's after. Listen, there was one time where someone came up to me after our Easter service, our very first Easter service. We had 220 people in this room.
Yeah.
I mean, we have 100 people right now. We don't need to grow.
Yeah.
The great theologian, Biggie Small, says, more money, more problems, right? I'm telling you, in church, more people, more problems. The church was way easier a year ago when there was 8 of us on the couch.
Come on.
Praying that God would use us to do great things.
Yeah.
Now we have over 100. We have more problems. We don't need to grow. But as long as heaven and hell are real, growth is not an option.
Come on.
Growth is not an option. That person came up to me after Easter when there's 200 people in the room and 20 in the hallway. They couldn't even fit in standing room in the back. And said, aren't we big enough yet?
No.
I didn't say this out loud, but I wanted to. I said, how selfish.
Yeah.
That as soon as we're in the room, we want to close the doors and leave everyone else out. God, no. Our heart is after those who aren't here yet.
Yeah,
we want to pray his will. I dare some of you. Every day, pray for your family and friends and coworkers who don't know him yet.
Yeah.
Pray his will in their life. For them, because they haven't prayed it yet.
Yeah.
Yet, I said, because you're believing by faith that God is going to reach them.
Yeah.
Pray for it. Number two is will. Number three, pray for your needs. See, this is the problem that most people have in their prayer life and why it's dry. They don't connect with them first. They just come to God with their laundry list, like he's some vending machine. Nothing wrong with that. There are days where that's all you can get out.
Yeah.
But don't let that be your everyday.
Yeah.
Pray. Bring him your needs. He knows you need financial needs. He knows you have relational needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. He knows. Bring them. And don't just pray for the big things thinking you're annoying the little things. Listen, he's a God, and he's our Father. He gives the breath in your lungs, and he provides the roof over your head. He wants to hear the big things and the little things. Pray for your needs. Number four, I want to pause here for a little bit. Pray for forgiveness. Turn to your neighbor and say, pray for forgiveness. This is the part of the prayer where it says, forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those who sin against us. Depending on your translation, it's trespasses, some say sin. But the idea is the same. Like every day, listen, God wants you to pray. Say, God, yesterday I messed up. Even though it was my best day, I still mess up. See, repentance isn't a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle thing. See, this is what the Protestant Reformation part about, that every day should be a lifestyle of repentance. Like yesterday, I acknowledged that was sin, God. Thank you for forgiving me. 1 John 1:9 says, God is faithful and just to not only forgive us of our sin, but cleanses us of it. How many of you are grateful for God who cleanses us of our sin? That's right? Amen. But as soon as you pray that prayer where you deal with your sin with God, God turns around and says, deal with other people. There's a mentor of mine who went to South Korea, and he visited the largest church in the world, 1 million people in this church in South Korea, led by Dr. Youngie Choi. We have about 100 people in this room. Take 10,000 center sets and combine them. Like, I went to Levi Stadium and watched AC Milan versus Barcelona. There was 50,000 people, and that stadium was packed. I can't even imagine two of those times 10 in one church. Like, that's crazy. And this guy was teaching on the Lord's Prayer, and he kind of read this, and he said, I'm going to try to do his accent, because he's a little Asian guy, he's like 5'2". Every day, I forgive so many people, because every day, I hate so many people. Come on, that's a good prayer right there. How many of you would agree with that?
Come on,
it's maybe we're in church. I think that prayer is awesome. Right? This is real. People are going to hurt you, lie to you, steal from you, stab you in the back, gossip about you. If you don't deal with it every day, listen, you're going to carry on bitterness, drinking poison, hoping they die and you're the one that's
going to die.
See, prison is like locking yourself in prison, hoping to harm the other person. And the only person you're hurting with your bitterness is yourself. God says you need to deal with it every day, because I know you're going to be sinned against. Listen, every day. The number one thing that God wants to, Satan wants to do, listen, he wants to confuse prayer so it's complex, so you distance yourself from God, and he wants to lock you in a prison of offense. Some of you need to hear this. You need to forgive that person, even if they never say sorry. I'm not saying what they did was right. I'm not even saying what they did was okay. It was wrong. That's why it hurt. But you need to learn to forgive them. Release them. That's what forgiveness is. Taking their balance and bringing it to zero. Say, God, you forgave me an unimaginable debt. How can I hold unforgiveness towards another person? When you gave me what I didn't deserve, I need to give to them too. See, forgiveness is more about you than the other person. It's about setting you free. And when you do it every single day, when you release that person, listen, the bitterness doesn't build up. Hebrew calls it a bitter root. I was going to use a sermon illustration. I was going to bring some weed to church. Not that kind. Focus, church. Come on. I don't want Silicon Valley and we're most unchurched. I was going to bring some weed from my backyard. The little kind of grows in. Come on. Focus. I was going to bring one that was like 3 inches tall, and then I have some that are like 3 feet tall. Only problem is I couldn't even pull the one that was 3 feet tall. It was in too deep. What a perfect spiritual picture of what happens to our heart. When we don't deal with unforgiveness every day. When it's small, listen, you can pull it out like that. But when you leave it and fester and it grows, and you begin to hate that person. Listen, you need intervention by then. You need a miracle of God to rip that thing out of your heart. Deal with it every single day. Pray for forgiveness and forgive others. Number four, pray for protection. This is part of the prayer. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I know so many Christians, they pray some weird prayers. They spend their entire prayer life just rebuking and yelling at the enemy. Imagine for a moment I came to your house, and as soon as I walked in the door, I picked up the phone and talked to someone for an hour. And I said, that was a good conversation. See you next week. And I left. Imagine, we do that with God sometimes. We don't even talk to him. We spend all of our time talking to the devil. Listen, you don't need to talk to the devil. Talk to God. He's the one that's going to fight for you. He's the one that's going to protect you. And when you look at this verse, it says, lead us not into temptation. James 1 says that God is neither tempted nor tempts us. So this is not about God leading you down the path of temptation. This is God not letting Satan lead you down that path. This is about protection. God, this is about spiritual warfare. If you want to know what spiritual warfare is, it's about standing. Go read Ephesians chapter 6. It's about the armor of God. And six times in that chapter it says stand, stand, stand. Because it's God who's the one defending you. God's the one who's protecting you. And he's the one rebuking the devil. You don't need to fight him. God will do it for you. But you need to pray every day. God, Satan has a plan to destroy my life today. Believe me, he does. He wants to go wants me to go down a path of destruction. Don't even let it happen, God. Pray that prayer. Pray for protection every single day.
Yeah.
Number six, end with praise. Begin the way that you end. And the end of the prayer, it ends like this. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. And amen. And this big old loud amen Jesus teaches us. Like, what does amen mean? Like, why do we always say that? It just means I agree with that. Like, when you hear a promise of God, when you hear the scriptures being read, and you hear something about the character of God, and you agree with it, by saying amen, you're like, yes, I agree with that. And more, listen, more than anything, when you're praying, and you're beginning with praise, and you're ending with praise, you're acknowledging that all of your provision, all of every blessing in your life comes from him. Because it's about him, about his power, his glory. You're not building your kingdom. You're building his. And more than listening, than just memorizing a couple of verses and memorizing the Lord's prayer as a formula, uses as a tool to get to him.
Yeah.
See, there are times, listen, where I will FaceTime my daughter during the week. And like, she'll be like, Daddy, what are you? She can't pronounce words very clearly. She goes, what are you? I'm at work. She goes, what are you doing? She doesn't even say it right, I just hang up on her. Told her like 20 times to say it right. Right? Some of you think God does that to you. You think God's going to hang up because you didn't pray right.
That's good.
Because it's not about skill.
That's right.
Listen, it's about relationship. Listen,
yeah.
The devil knows Jesus better than you do. But he doesn't have a relationship.
Yeah.
And he knows the Lord's prayer, but he never prays it. Because he doesn't want a relationship. And God longs. God died to have a relationship with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to end with this one last story. There is a very shaky, famous Shakespearean actor who every day would perform. He'd quote different plays from Shakespeare, he'd quote different poetry, and he always ended every night by quoting Psalm 23. And the crowd like explode with praise and applaud, and they love the way this man could orate his voice and project it without a microphone. And one day, years into it doing it, his grandmother comes to visit him. Says, son, can I, you know, read Psalm 23 at the end of your performance, like this is kind of awkward, this is my grandmother, Cheryl, whatever. So he gets up and performs at the very end, he goes, God, I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm going to have my grandmother come up, and she reads Psalm 23. As soon as she was done, there was no applause, just silence. And he's like, oh my gosh, I made the biggest mistake of my life. What he didn't realize is the crowd was silent because they were all crying. And as soon as he comes off stage with his grandma, he's like, what did you do? How did you do that? She goes, honey, God, that's simple. So you know Psalm 23, but I know the shepherd.
Come on.
See, more than just knowing the Lord's Prayer, I want you to know the shepherd.
Yeah.
It's not about a formula. It's not about skill. It's not even about coming to church. Mm-hmm. Christianity is not about an ugly building where we sing songs from Australia. Listen. The people who know the inside jokes know what I just said. We sing a lot of songs from Australia. Hillsong. It's not about singing songs in a building. It's about knowing him. This is a tool to get to him. If I can have everyone stand up and pray. We're going to pray as a church. We're going to do this. And with the lights still low and the music slowly building up, some of you have never prayed before. That's okay. I'm going to show you how to do this today. So if you are not a believer, you don't have to participate. Just stand there. But I want to encourage some of you that are struggling in your relationship with God. Listen, nothing will connect you with him and through prayer. As we begin this prayer of the church together, just privately in your heart, just begin to praise him. You guys can close your eyes and bow your head. Let's just praise God for who he is. Thank you, Jesus, that you're my Savior, that you're my healer, that you sent your son to die for me. Just begin to pray. What did he do in your life? How did he change you? What has he given you? How good is your life because of him? Just begin to praise him. Now just begin to pray his will over your life, over your family. relatives' life, in your work, in your city, in your community. God, you need a bigger vision of His provision. Not just start praying for protection. God, protect us. Protect us. Protect our families. Protect our cities. Protect our loved ones. Pray for forgiveness. Who is God putting on your heart right now that you need to forgive? Release them. Doesn't do any harm to them. You're hurting yourself. Just release them. And can we, as a church, just raise our voices and praise to the God who hears our praise? Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, and there's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope this message impacted you and inspires you to draw closer to Jesus. Subscribe to this podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at Centerset Church to keep up with all that God is doing in our community. Also, we'd love to be in prayer with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send them to info@centerset.church.